There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan.
My brother from another mother.
On FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this day after primary election day. And a big thank you to all y'all chiming in last night as we did election coverage up to 10 o'clock last night here at FM Talk. And we'll continue to do it today as we've been doing throughout. And we'll talk more with one of the people that was on the ballot, but in the Ghost District. Which, I mean, sounds like the makings of a movie, right? The ghost primary. Jerry Carl is going to join us here in the second hour of the show. So what does it mean for him going forward into August? We'll talk about that. Also, Erica Thomas is going to join us. But my friend and leadoff batter right here on Midday Mobile. Let's check in with Cameron Smith, Breeders' Work of the Tennessean. Check out the music of Wasted Bacon with summertime bangers and, I would say, some Christmas traditional favorites, in addition to checking out the movie The Ballad of Davy Crockett and a whole lot more. Cameron, what's up, man?
Well, hey, it might not have been Super Tuesday, but it was an interesting Tuesday, and we got a lot to talk about.
Yeah, we do here in Alabama. You know, I was talking about two of the races here locally that surprised me, incumbents Greg Allbritton and Matt Simpson on the Senate and House side. They lost. I didn't see that one coming. A lot of the other ones didn't surprise me, but the we got a whole nother cycle here because we're going to have at least six different runoffs going from the ballot yesterday.
Yeah, and I think that's actually – I think it's a good thing for Alabama because when you have a runoff set up, you're making sure that ultimately the successful candidate is somebody that the majority of voters actually want. Mm-hmm. And in states without that runoff set up, you can end up with somebody in office that only ever secured a plurality of the voters. I don't think that's a good deal. So Alabama should be glad that the runoff system's there.
Yeah, let's go through some of this. Of course, on the top of the ticket on the gubernatorial side, it's going to be Tupperville and Jones, the rematch. Thoughts? Any thoughts on that?
I can't think of a bigger snooze. You know, congratulations, Governor Tupperville.
Yeah,
we knew that this was imminent. Really, the big deal here is Tupperville's ability to clear the field. I maintain he is arguably the best retail politician in Alabama. His pulse of where the state is. You can argue with his politics, his policy positions. I certainly have. But in terms of his ability to connect with voters, I don't think there's anyone right now that's better than Tommy Tupperville.
What do you think it's going to look like on Goat Hill? You know, after November, he wins. He comes in there. You know, people are like, oh, we need a fighter. But, you know, it's not just the fighter part. It's the person that didn't come up through the ranks of Alabama state government. And people could make of that what they will. I think it's going to get real interesting from my position. Like, somebody who doesn't just go along because they'll come in there and go, why do we do it? I think, this is my guess, why do we do it this way? Why is that person in that position? Why are we beholden to them? Just ask those questions. I think it may make for interesting, you know, January, February coming up.
So Alabama is actually how I wish the United States was. I think, and I mean this with all respect to the eminent Governor Tupperville, he's going to get his lunch eaten by the state legislature because in Alabama there is appropriate tension between legislators and the governor. The governor basically has the microphone. But the governor in Alabama is a weak governor, and legislators love to remind the governor of that from time to time. So the idea that Tupperville is going to come in and he's going to just dictate to these guys how the state government's going to go, I don't see that going over real well. and he's going to have to kind of find a way to throttle, because he's a full send type candidate. As a senator, he's been able to kind of do his own thing, run independently of everything. When you're the executive of a state, you got to bring folks into the fold. So he's going to have to learn to pivot a little bit. Otherwise, it's going to be some really entertaining collisions on Goat Hill.
Yeah, I think we will have it. But I do think you'll have that power magnet effect coming, you know, being a senator, now being the governor, that some of those elements that may have put a bulwark against him will be magnetized to the power in the executive branch and maybe play ball for him. I think that's coming way more than Kay Ivey. Kay Ivey had influence that people never did understand over members of the legislature, but that was the long game. I think the magnetism of a Tupperville, I think there's going to be a lot of people that just say yes to what the executive wants in the legislature.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I think what we'll see, I anticipate Tupperville being the football version of a Bob Riley.
Okay.
Bob Riley was an expert at using the bully pulpit. He knew how to get what he wanted by engaging the public, engaging the media, and pulling those levers to essentially use soft power where the formal office is kind of weak. Tupperville is a coach. He has very much more that coaching mentality. The problem sometimes for a coach is you get the final say. You're the one that just gets to decide. If he does the I'm the decider thing, there are a lot of senators and House members who think they might wind up in the governor's mansion someday, and they're not about to bend the knee to Tupperville.
It is going to be interesting to watch this play out. Just joining us, talking to Cameron Smith, I want to kind of go through a couple more of these in the Senate race here. I was watching this last night during our coverage, and early on, it was pretty close between Moore and Marshall. And then here came Jared Hudson moving up, and that was before the Birmingham numbers came in, which is like home base for Jared Hudson. And we saw this happen in front of our eyes last night. It's not by a whole bunch, but he bested Steve Marshall, who, I mean, you're talking about a brand name and name recognition in Alabama politics. Steve Marshall has it, but Jared Hudson beat him by like a point here, just a little over a point, to be in the runoff against Barry Boer. And somebody said it earlier. It was, Scott Buttram was on and said, you know, you put Barry Boer and Steve Marshall in a runoff, and it's Barry Boer's going away. The Jared Hudson factor, I don't know if it doesn't change this some. It's, you know, a runoff between Barry Boer and Jared Hudson. I would say that this is not a sure thing for Barry Boer, even with the big, strong number he brought yesterday.
Yeah, I do think it's Moore's to lose. Let's be blunt. Red meat rah-rah does really well in Alabama.
Yeah, but Jared Hudson has that too. That's what I'm saying. It's not, you know.
So hear me out. Moore and Tupperville are kind of in that same lane, right? And so I think there's some similarities there. Hudson is a wild card that I think people are really going to like. I mean, now that we're moving to a runoff, you've got two choices. You've got conventional politician sort of in the vein, in the lane, and then you've got somebody who does feel like an outsider, who has credible service, who has sort of a lot of the positive attributes that folks look for, esteemed military service. I think he may actually pull it out. I think he may win. Really, what I think
that's kind of what I'm thinking.
Come down to is name ID.
Yeah, it is, and you're right. Barry Boer's name ID super strong in AL1, AL2, the Wiregrass to Southwest Alabama from his time, obviously in Congress. So he's got that. He's got the name advantage. I don't know how well known that name is from his, you know, Goat Hill days. Is that known, people in Tuscumbia, you know what I'm saying, or the north of the river, meaning the Tennessee River, those kind of places, is it a jump ball with a Hudson and a Moore there? I definitely know he has the advantage down here with name recognition.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, when I say name recognition, I'm really talking about what kind of funds do they have? What ability do they have to project themselves as candidates? Hudson, I mean, let's be honest, handsome dude, he looks like the profile of a leader, right?
100%.
Like what you really want. And that counts for a lot, man. I mean, we discount that all the time of like, hey, this guy's going to represent Alabama. He can do really well. They're going to vote the same way. So folks right now are looking at it and saying, hey, I've got somebody that's going to vote the way I want and somebody that's going to vote the way I want. Which one do I like more? And I think if Hudson has the funding to get out there and get his message out that, hey, I'm a legit candidate. I'm in this runoff. I bested the former attorney general.
Mm-hmm.
I think he can run away with it. And I don't think win by a point or two. I think he can actually win. He's just got to say, hey, this Barry Moore guy has been a politician for a long time. Seems like a nice enough guy. Do you really want a career politician or do you want something different? That is such a powerful campaign message in Alabama.
Now let's talk about outside the state of Alabama. And, you know, last night I'm trying to report on Alabama stuff, but people know my respect for Thomas Massie. And not that I agree with everything Massie does, but I love consistency. I love constitutionalism. It's weird that I have two people that I'm pretty big fans of, both out of Kentucky. It's Paul and Massie. But Massie goes down, and goes down Massie last night, big time.
Yeah, and so this is actually a column that I'm working on is, you've seen Trump, the bodies pile up. Let's make this real clear. Donald Trump owns the Republican Party.
100%.
That nobody's arguing that. What concerns me is that Donald Trump doesn't like dissent in the Republican Party. He does not like anybody on his team disagreeing with him. And I think that is a massive red flag. That is a huge problem. To be able to criticize and say, hey, I disagree with you on this. I'm going to go with you 90-80% of the time, but occasionally, like on the Epstein files, we're just wrong here. This is not right. We need to be open and transparent. If Republicans can only ever agree with Trump or they lose, that we have a monolith, right? We don't really need Congress at that point. We don't need Republicans in Congress because we can just give those votes to Trump. I think the founders wanted a healthy tension here. And so I understand the Trump mindset of, you know, punish your political detractors within the party. If you look at how often Massie and Cassidy and others worked with him, the number was extremely high. So I think this is a misstep. I think it's a mistake. And I also think it's going to cause the Republican Party to atrophy. And what I mean by that is, there are actual disagreements in the Republican Party. Like, for example, one of the ones that I think ultimately toppled Massie was, hey, how should we treat Israel? Is it always whatever Israel wants, they get? Is it, hey, we want to be objective about this and try to make good decisions for America? Like, where are we? The Republican Party has some disagreements there. That's okay. But the fact that we're going to a place where you can disagree in hushed tones, otherwise the president is coming for you, I don't think that makes a healthier Republican Party. I think it makes a weaker one.
And we're going to wrap up on this. And I only know about this story because I guess it was late last week, you put it up on Twitter or X. And I've saved this for you, but you'll hear more about this going forward, especially here in the 250th birthday for our republic. You put up something from last week, I forget what, Associated Press story. And y'all prepare yourself. I'm just going to read the headline, let Cameron talk about it. It's a musket. This AP puts out, a musket from 1776 can fire a lead ball at a velocity of around 1,000 feet per second. Then it goes on here, not just news reporting. It says, imagine what that can do to a human body. Yet under federal and most state laws, it's exempt from gun regulations. So they're going after people with a musket, a black powder. And let me point out, too, that 1,000 feet per second, air rifles are doing well over 1,000 feet per second. But go ahead. I mean, this left me slack-jawed.
My break-action air rifle is like 1,800 feet per second.
Right, so AP.
Look, if you load a musket and point it at me and fire, I'm in a bad shape. Like, that's true. But the AP's breathless article about the non-regulation of black powder muskets, I had to read it several times on several outlets to confirm that this was indeed a thing. I actually wrote a column, and I'll tweet it out after we get off the air, of Are you serious? Guys, this was the only thing Democrats had said definitively they would support about the Second Amendment of, well, the firearms that were there at the time of the Second Amendment's drafting, those are okay. Everything else is bad. Now, that, do you know what a musket could do? And to which I kind of tongue-in-cheek responded, guys, if the gangs are moving into the 1800s with their firearms, we should let them. We should be like, you give me your 9mm, your Tech 9, your AR-15, give me those, and I will gladly give you as many black powder muskets as you want. I'll even give you a blunderbuss. You tell me what firearm from the 1800s you want, and we'll trade. Yet the AP just, guys, did you know the danger that's posed by these? I mean, you can get off like 3 rounds a minute.
I mean, like what Cameron said about the get about the hands of gangbangers. I do wonder if they try to figure out a Glock switch for a musket, but that you would see the sounds of gang warfare tonight at our fair city. And it's pew,
right.
Now they're reloading. Call to arms.
Right. I mean, the experts, guys, for those of y'all who are not familiar with black powder muskets, one of the best riflemen on the planet might get 3 shots off in a minute. Might. The average person with a black powder rifle is getting 1 shot off and then running away and then loading it and then running. I mean, this is minutes between
about.
Shots.
This is what they're worried about. So, I mean, AP worries that everybody's, you know, all fired up about our 250 and, gosh, there's people out there with, black powder. There's people out there with, flintlock, and these could really harm people. Yeah, so could a bowling ball drop from a roof, too. But, I mean, we're not going after those.
And why do we stop there? Why don't we just be like, the gasoline that you have in your house, you could dump that on yourself and set yourself on fire. So maybe you should have a license to go buy gasoline. I mean, it is the nanny state on hyperdrive, and we've got to make, I mean this sincerely, we've got to make fun of these people at every turn, or somebody's going to say, hey, you know what? We really should look into regulating that. And the answer is no, you shouldn't. Don't be weird.
Y'all read, I'm excited about your story, too. You'll put that out on your X account. I've already retweeted the AP story. Everybody go look at that either at Cameron's page or at FM Talk 106.5. And your page online is, where do they go?
At D. Cameron Smith. At D. Cameron Smith on the X machine. Come join the conversation.
Thanks, Cameron. All right, coming right back. More Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
12:27, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this Wednesday. Glad to have you along. You know, everybody's I guess that's how he... I thought it was Brett Marcus, but everybody's saying Marks. So now what you're hearing here, if you talk about the top of... top of yesterday's voting in AL1 and the top in AL, will be the top in AL2. It's Karl Barks. You hear that? I heard that. I said the first time I heard that, I'm like, were they talking about Karl Marks? They are, but see, Karl Marquez would not work. So Karl Marks is a little better. All right. Is it ridiculous? Yes. Will there be somebody online saying, well, I've figured out this is means they're all communists coming because the two last names together, and if you drop the E and then it's... Okay, let's go to the text line. Keith said, I'm friends with some Creek tribal executives, and they're in complete disbelief after the All-Britain loss. Yeah, I'm with you, Keith. I'm with them. That one surprised me big time. I did not watch the opponent tightly enough to know kind of what the vibe was. But, All Britain, the incumbent, and I hadn't heard a lot of challenges to him, so that was very interesting to me. Buddy says, the funny thing was Barry Moore was giving his victory speech while we were at home. We were eating our popcorn and watching Hudson's numbers climb. This Jared Hudson thing, and hopefully he'll be on, he may be on tomorrow. He had texted, maybe. To watch exactly what you're saying, buddy, like early on, it was, a really significant lead there for, because it went Moore, Marshall, and then Hudson. But Hudson was down considerably. But, you know, like Jeff was saying, we're talking about last night in the reporting, he's going to do so well in the Birmingham area, right? That's where he's the homeboy. And sure enough, those numbers put him in. And now it is not, it was by like a percentage. Pull my numbers back up here. Like a percentage. It wasn't like Hudson jumped Marshall and went way high. It's really, it was very narrow. And I think we can say with everything counted by now, they've called that in the runoff. I don't think there's any votes that still come in, but it's a point separation, I think. Hudson beating Marshall by a point to go into the runoff. So it'll be Moore and Hudson in that runoff, which is going to be, I think it's going to be interesting. We ask this question every time, right? When there's a runoff, okay, whose voters go where? Right, this is the fun game we play. But if you go, all right, so do Steve Marshall's voters more or less matriculate and go to Moore? Do they not show up? Do they go to Hudson? It's going to be talked about a whole bunch in the next 4 weeks going into that runoff. Coming right back, more election coverage and our conversation with Erica Thomas from 1819 News and a whole lot more straight ahead.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:35, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Day after election discussion will continue. It's been going all day here and will go throughout this week. And coming up here in just a little bit, Jerry Carl was on the ballot in the Ghost primary. We'll talk to him in the 1 o'clock hour. Also, just a few texts here, and then we'll get our next guest on. B from Spanish Fort said the point he was missing, I think she is talking about Thomas Massie, the point he is missing is that the Democrat Party, for the most part, doesn't go against themselves, and Trump wants to fight fire with fire, at least until we can get this country turned around. Just my opinion. Also, as we closed out with Cameron, you got to go see the story. It's up on our X feed, or Twitter feed, at FM Talk 106.5, or you can see it on his. The AP story, they're worrying about black powder. They're worried about muskets now and the danger from muskets out there. Here, the year of our 250th birthday, and they're worried about the muskets. Michael, you know, I thought about this too. Michael said, I'm pretty sure I have made a potato gun that shoots more accurately and further than a blunderbuss. Also, Mom hated it when her Aquanet would disappear. Michael, listen, my son and I built a potato gun as a project a year or two ago. And trying to find the right propellant, and not because there's a bunch of the Aquanet stuff now that doesn't have the go-go in it. And we had to search far and wide for that. And now the AP will probably do a story, the dangers of potato guns out there, and we'll lose ours now that I admitted it. All right. Without further ado, she has been wide open and busy all through the primary day and here into the day after. It's our friend Erica Thomas from 1819news.com. Erica, you ready to like take a little break this weekend?
Howdy, Sean. I am. I'm really excited about this weekend. I will have my family in town, so always looking forward to that. But it's been a very exciting last 24 hours. I stayed up till I think 4 a.m. writing stories. We wanted to be able to tell the people of Alabama, you know, we wanted them to be able to wake up and Google whatever race they were looking for and be able to find it on 1819news.com. So that's what we did, and it was great. But enjoyed going out to a bunch of different polls yesterday, talking to candidates and voters. I felt like I was campaigning myself, but you know, these candidates have been doing this for months, and I did it yesterday. So I feel so much for those candidates that worked so hard that didn't win yesterday, but it's all about what's best for the people and what the people want. So I was happy to see, for the most part, smooth elections yesterday.
Yeah, absolutely. And I kind of want to, you think about the time you stayed up till your boss, he's a tough taskmaster. When we signed off last night with our election coverage, I think he was bummed that we all couldn't stay up all night, that we're going to go home and come back and do it again the next day. Some of those, we're talking about some of the stories, but you spent your time out at these, you know, with these candidates, with these voters yesterday. Any takeaway there? Just editorialize for a second. You're a journalist, but your feeling on the you know, the spirit of the people, kind of anything you heard that surprised you, things that didn't surprise you, anything from yesterday?
I think the biggest surprise I had all day yesterday, I was all in Baldwin County. I didn't make it over to Mobile County. But the most surprising thing was I was at the Orange Beach Event Center, and I always like to go there when there's an election because there seems to be a lot of people just hanging out. They have tents and candidates are holding signs, and it's just a more active situation. They had great turnout at that particular precinct, by the way. But the most surprising thing is I was there, and I was walking down. If you're at the Orange Beach Event Center, you have the canal right there. So I was walking around because I had 3 fishing poles in my car. I just bought a new rod yesterday. So I thought, I wonder if there's a spot I could go in and, you know, wet some hooks real quick.
Mm-hmm.
So I was walking around to see, and by the way, you can't do that right there. But, you know, I had to try.
So I appreciate that.
I turned around the corner to go back towards the event center, and I saw this man who looked so familiar from a distance, a man and his wife, and I said, is that who I think it is? It was Jared Hudson. And I just heard Cameron Smith talking about Jared Hudson.
Yeah.
You know, basically said he was handsome and all that. True, we all know that. Like Cameron said, that was a great conversation y'all had. But you know Jared Hudson when you see him. I mean, he stands out in a crowd. And so I was shocked because he's in Jefferson County. So I said, what in the world are you doing down here? It was him and his wife, Lauren. Talked to them for a little bit. So that was the most surprising thing. He actually drove around the state yesterday for Election Day. I mean, that is truly just a lot of hard work. So I can't complain about being tired, but I guarantee you he's very excited this morning.
It's going to be interesting, too. I don't, you know, Jared Hudson, pretty new to a lot of us here in the state. And he's definitely, obviously, got himself into the runoff against a brand name that has he's had some time to mature, Barry Moore. I wonder what the next step is. I mean, we played this game, and this is, you know, the editorial side, but whenever you have runoffs, you can't help but looking at the other votes, right, and say, okay, the people that voted for a Steve Marshall or others here, what will they do? Will they come back in a month? And if they do, which of the two gets their vote? You know, it really is interesting. If the other votes were, I mean, is Marshall more like Moore, you know, or is more like Hudson? I don't know. I don't know where those voters go.
Yeah, that's definitely yet to be determined. I think it's more interesting to see, are these candidates going to go into this special election? I asked Jared Hudson that yesterday. You know, if things don't go how you want them, what are you thinking about?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe hopping in
for 6, AL6.
Yes, and he said, you know, we're not going to do that because today's going to go how we want it. So I was like, ooh, touche. But it is interesting. I think, especially for this special election, turnout's going to be a big question mark. You know, it's just something we're not used to seeing, not used to doing. Voters are going to get tired of going back and forth to the poll. They already have the runoff, and then now we'll have another special election in August, and then we'll have to go back in November for the general election. So we'll just see what people decide to do. But Jared Hudson, you said he was a newcomer, and he is on the state scale.
Yeah,
but
I'm not saying he's completely new if you watch Covenant Rescue and all those things, but, I mean, that's
right
for those of us that kind of in this world, right? We got to think about folks that don't do this every day. And I think that name was new. I mean, for, like, you know, family members of mine that don't do this for a living, they're like, I just heard his name here recently.
Yes, exactly. And one of the spots he's very well known, and I think you saw that yesterday at the polls, is Jefferson County. He had, of the Republican voters, he had almost 45% of the vote there in Jefferson County. He has run for sheriff there before against Mark Pettway, who is the current sheriff. Mark Pettway beat him back in, I think it was 2022. Don't hold me to that. But he's done the campaigning thing before. He's trained a lot of our law enforcement in Alabama and beyond with Covenant Rescue. So he's starting to really gain a lot of traction in the Alabama political sphere, just because, like I said yesterday, he was all over the state. You know, he's just trying to make himself be seen. And I think he's put a lot of effort into that. And we'll just have to wait and see what happens.
Right. I want to, as we wrap up here, too, from the story, not that the political stories would get plenty of clicks, but I can imagine one that is burning down the clicks over at 1819news.com because it has to do with snakes. It's a story I think you had out over the weekend. So the PTSD is so real, a trustful woman bitten by a copperhead. Now, people constantly like, Sean, you spend all your time in the woods, on the farm, and stuff like, yeah. This person wasn't way out anywhere when they got bitten, right? She was. Tell the story about this, Donna Lowry.
Yeah, this is Donna Lowry, and I know Miss Lowry. She's just go all the time. I'm talking one of those people that she just never stops working. You know, it'll be 10 o'clock at night, she's on her computer. Just a very motivated lady. And so she came home from work, I think it was on April 27th. Yeah, it was. So she came home from work and realized she had left something in her car. So she just ran outside. She lives in a garden home in Trustful, so it's just a slab house, one level. So when she stepped outside of her door, she instantly knew she had been bitten by a snake, which is crazy because she never saw it. Well, she didn't see it till after the first responders found it. But at the time when she was bit, she said, it was much worse than a bee sting. It just had a certain feel to it. Mm-hmm. She just knew what it was. And it sure enough was, it was a copperhead. And she said instantly it started swelling up. And she ran to her neighbor's house. She got help with her neighbor. And they called the ambulance, and they came. The first responders came. They found the snake, dispatched it. And she headed to the hospital. And what stood out to me hearing this story, and this is something that everybody needs to remember if you possibly can, if you ever get bitten by a venomous snake, take off all your jewelry that you're wearing. Because she said it swelled up so big, so quick. If it would have been her hand and she had a ring on, it could have been even worse. I mean, so even though I probably would never think, oh, I need to take my rings off, you know, right. I'd probably be thinking I'm going to die, I'm going to lose my hand. And just completely panic. If you do happen to think of it, if you ever get bitten by what you think might be a venomous snake, go ahead and take your jewelry off real quick. I think that was the lesson that I learned from this. I've done a bunch of these stories in the past. I've done a bunch of Alabama snake remover stories, that sort of thing. But every time I just learned something new. And, you know, snakes aren't really anything to be scared of. But now Donna Lowry says she is just terrified all the time, every time she walks outside, even during the day. This happened at night, so she didn't see anything. She didn't look down or anything, and the snake was just on her stoop. But she said now she's terrified to even move or go outside, and just everything spooks her. You know, she gets scared real easy when anything moves that she's not expecting. Bless her heart. I can't imagine that it would be pretty bad, but her quote in this story was the piece. PTSD is so real.
Yeah, so. She's got that on her mind. People want to read through that whole story, of course, over at 1819news.com. If they want to reach out to you directly on a story or, you know, maybe an idea, a story you've written, how do they find you?
Yeah, you can email me at erica.thomas@1819news.com. But also, if you go to 1819news.com and you see one of my stories, you can click on my name and then scroll down to the bottom of any story that you see, and my email address is right there. So it's erica.thomas@1819news.com, or you can email all of us. We have a bunch of wonderful reporters all around the state, and that's news@1819news.com.
And I want to point out, too, that as I've followed the story of Erica's dog, Ranger, going to school, she sends a dog to school, I got a video this week, Erica. This is Ranger with his doggy backpack waiting for the dog school bus to show up, and I've never seen such a thing. It was he was very excited to see the dog school bus show up. He's ready to go to school. This is something.
Yes, he is. He gets so excited, and it's so funny because he hears it as soon as it pulls into the subdivision. His ears go up, his tail starts wagging, and he's just ready to get on that bus.
So, y'all, Erica walks the dog. Listen, just to picture it, she walks the dog with his dog backpack on, like you're walking a kid out to the school bus. The dog is going with mom out to the school bus and excited. It's something. It cracked me the heck up, to be honest with you. Keep those coming.
Oh, will do. And he's really starting to get a following on Twitter, too, and mostly because of those videos. And it's fun. It's funny. It's something I can do when I'm not, you know, taking myself too seriously. I can just post videos of him getting on the bus, and people seem to love it. I think that's what we need right now. You know, a lot of times people expect us to be all serious all the time, and we are. We care about the people of Alabama, what's going on in our state. But, y'all, let's not take ourselves too seriously. Let's just sit back, relax, and enjoy the little bit of peace we can get.
Yeah, watch dogs getting on the school bus for sure. Erica, as always, we appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you. God bless, Sean.
All right, tell Ranger we said hi. All right, coming right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:53 FM Talk 106.5, and it is Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. This segment of the show brought to you by my buddy Trey at 1-800-GOT-JUNK, and it works this way. You've got, we know it. I mean, you don't have to admit it publicly. You've got junk somewhere, something you've been saying, I've got to get around to getting that gone. Could be a storage unit, could be something at your shop, your office, could be at the house, could be, as Trey reminds me to remind y'all, could be around the house. You often think about, like, with 1-800-GOT-JUNK, it's furniture and boxes and all that. Absolutely, they do that. But giant trampolines, swing sets, above ground pools, storage buildings, stuff like that you want gone, they can take those too. So you got that kind of junk you want gone, you need 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Make the appointment. It's real easy. Do it. Their name is the number, 1-800-GOT-JUNK, or online, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. All you got to do when you get that is you just tell them what day you want to do it, what time you want to do it. They set an appointment, and all you have to do is point at the junk you want gone when they get there. Quote your price right there on the spot. You say yes, they get to work and get it done. So check them out. My man Trey and the crew from 1-800-GOT-JUNK. You can sign up today at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com or do it on the telephone. All right, we get some text here. These have been piling up. Let's see, and more discussion of potato guns. I like that. Jerry in Fort Morgan, how about giving them what comes out of the business end of my Second Amendment freedom? It was, if y'all go, please go look at that story I put over on the Twitter or the X feed. Associated Press worrying about, there are people now worrying about the muskets out there. Remember, they've always used that in the Second Amendment arguments. They're like, well, y'all are running off a time when they said the Second Amendment would just apply to militias, and that was the technology of black powder then and flintlock then. Well, now the AP's got a story. They're worried about the damage that could be done. Yes, you know what? The damage could be done is a lot if you point something and shoot at somebody. But in the story, it's laughable. Anybody who spends any time around firearms, they said they could approach 1,000 feet per second. Damn, air rifle does 1,800 feet a second. So, I mean, settle down, AP. But it's funny. Go read it. Give me your reaction. Let's see. Maximus says, I know what's not going to a runoff, and that's the Mobile County Sheriff's Office race. Man, what a slaughter. Let's see. Dirt Digger said, I watch MeTV, and you see Dad do We Have a Gun. The lefties are against firearms, so why don't they tell children not to do drugs? Did I read that correctly? I watch MeTV. And you see, Dad, do we have a gun? The lefties are against firearms, so why don't they tell children not to do drugs? I don't explain that to me. Maybe it's a public service announcement or something I haven't seen. Let's see. This from Motorman said, I understand that it was a low turnout, but even a low turnout still makes it hard to believe that big a margin in the Mobile County Sheriff's Office race. I guess the good old boy network is alive and kicking. Squirrel Vereen said, holy crap, that's the second carport porch snake bite I've heard about recently. I need to think about that when I go out in the dark like that. Yeah, well, this is why I think it was interesting to me, is that we're talking about, like, people always worry that, man, you're out in the woods all the time, Sean, the snakes are all over. Well, you kind of expect them there. This lady lives in a patio home. That's why I think the story was worth noting, and stepped out. I mean, it's just bad luck. As she basically says in the story, I think I put my foot in the copperhead's mouth and bit her, but you can see the picture of how swollen her foot was in that story over at 1819news.com. All right, let's go to John in Mobile on the phones. Hey, John.
Hey, this is John Barron.
Hey.
And I just called to talk about the low turnout statewide. 20% of 3.3 million vote registered voters out of 9 million Alabamians is why we're still ranked 50th in everything. These politicians rely on the ignorance and apathy that keeps most voters uneducated and at home. They won't have a single ballot where they put Republicans and Democrats on. The top two go to the general election and let that be it. They've divided us, and we'll never get through this until we realize that we need independent thinkers who don't suck up to somebody because of their title, because we don't suck up to someone because of an R or a D behind their name. One day, and it will be too late when we realize this, but we need to get our heads out of our butt about our local election, Sean.
John, I wish I wasn't right when I predicted the turnout, but I was pretty much close to it. I mean, that's what happens. Y'all, this isn't out of Alabamians. This is out of registered voters, and they don't turn out. I mean,
3.3 million statewide. And this is why we get the same type of people in office, Sean. This is why we get the same results in Alabama. We need a politician who's going to do something about the education in Alabama, jobs in Alabama, a law restricting obese women from wearing spandex in public. We need someone who's going to actually serve the people and not be concerned about who endorses them. I got so many flyers with candidates saying endorsed by Trump. Are you going to endorse $2.2 trillion in deficit again in a year? Are you going to endorse $1 billion for a ballroom? Start electing people that are for the people, by the people, and of the people. And I rest my case.
There you go, John. I appreciate it. Okay, and he's gone. Coming back, hour number two of Midday Mobile. I don't think there'll be any Lululemon funding for any of those campaigns.